apologize in advance for my poor voice quality this morning. I've been suffering the effects of seasonal allergies. I know many of you also suffer at this time of year. And believe you me, I know at the end of Mass when I'm greeting people outside, I will get all kinds of suggestions as to what to do. I've tried everything. I'm a practical walking CBS internally. So thank you in advance for the suggestions, but I'm in good shape in that regard. There are many, many mothers in this parish who have lots of suggestions about how to get well soon. I appreciate that. This parable that we just heard, the parable of the prodigal son, is easily among the most famous, comforting, well-understood, heartwarming, and consoling parables. In fact, it's probably the most famous parable that Jesus ever told. The only parable that rivals it is probably the parable of the Good Samaritan. But between the Good Samaritan and this parable, these are the top two, for sure, if you asked any person who knows anything about the Bible, especially the New Testament. In fact, just as a side note, you may be interested to know that these two parables are only found in one gospel, the Gospel according to St. Luke. So anytime that you read the Gospel of St. Luke, say a prayer of thanksgiving to God for him, because without him we wouldn't even know about these two parables. So what I'd like to do this morning for you is to give you a perspective on the parable, which hopefully will make you appreciate God's mercy working in your life to a greater or lesser degree. And the way I plan to do that is to perhaps help you identify yourself with each of the four persons in the parable. Three are obvious, one is not. We know that there are at least three persons in the parable because it begins, a man had two sons. So that's three persons. So we'll know about them rather easily because right from the text you can get that. But there's a fourth person who's also present in the parable, although he has no speaking parts. And what I'd like you to do this morning, if you would, is to think back on your life and to see yourself in each of the different characters of the parable. Maybe you've been that person. And at the end of the day, regardless of who you've been, perhaps you've been all four persons at some point, that you would come to a realization of the splendor and majesty of God's mercy offered to us through the sacraments. The Lenten season, of course, is the appropriate time of the year to focus on this and to truly appreciate and understand how powerful God's mercy is. So here goes. Perhaps in your life, you've been the prodigal son. You are that person who wandered away and returned to the faith. You're the person who was convinced, at least for part of your life, that life without the Father was better, who told the Father, whether explicitly or implicitly by your sin, Father, give me my share of the inheritance, which is the prodigal's way of telling the Father, you're dead to me. Maybe you're the person who, by God's grace, finally came to his senses after wallowing in the filth of sin. You came to rock bottom, and you discovered that there is life that is much more prosperous and beautiful in the Father's house. But at the same time as a prodigal son, you may have been that person who set his sights low upon his return to the church and lacked the foresight or capacity to see his status as son in the Father's house. Remember in the parable of the prodigal son doesn't want to be a son again. He just wants a meal. He's just hungry. He wants a warm bath and a roof over his head. His sights are low. He doesn't understand how the Father sees him. And sometimes when prodigal sons and daughters return to the church, neither do they. The second person that you might have been is the person who doesn't have a speaking part. They come halfway through the parable. It's the owner of the pig pen. The person who doesn't say a word in the parable. But someone has to own that pig pen. Someone had to hire the prodigal son. Maybe you are the person or have been the person, maybe you are the person who has brought others down and caused others to wallow in the filth of sin. Maybe you're the person who stunted the spiritual growth of others by word or deed. Maybe you've been that person. Maybe you still are. Then there's the older son, the person who lacks forgiveness, the person who cannot rejoice at the conversion of others, the person who grudgingly remains faithful to the Father, but who interiorly is actually resentful of a life of virtue and secretly wishes he were the prodigal son, who can squander grace and then be forgiven. It's interesting that Luke writes that the prodigal son spent his money, the father's money, on a life of dissipation. He doesn't say exactly what that means. But the older son makes a specific claim about the kind of dissipation, spending his money on women of the oldest profession. Isn't that a little projecting what perhaps the older son wished he could do? How interesting an insight into the older son's mind. The older son is sometimes the person who does not understand that one's experience of heaven to come is directly proportionate to the life of virtue here on earth. And so, the holier you are here on earth, the more intense your experience of heaven will be. So this person who does not understand why they are living a life of virtue finds absolutely no joy in the venture. They are resentful. They are bitter. They are compliant, maybe at times even obedient, but they cannot truly enjoy what it means to be a son in the Father's house. And then finally, maybe you've been the father, that bigger person who knows the freedom of being able to forgive and who desires a full restoration to sonship of someone who has offended them. You're the person who's experienced God's mercy so intensely in your life, so profoundly deep in your soul, that you cannot help but share it with others. So, you are a person of reconciliation. You're the person who holds out the hope to others that an estranged family member might come home, whether to the family, domestically, or to the family at large of the church. You're the person with a softened heart, no longer the hardened heart of the older son who is resentful, but the softened heart of a father who wants to forgive because he himself has experienced forgiveness. You are that hopeful person, the person who looks out on the road daily, hoping that the estranged family member or friend might return. And when they do, you will be willing to accept them wholeheartedly and without any resentment. Regardless of who you've been, who you are, and who you might be in the parable, one thing should be eminently clear. Without God's mercy, we are really nothing. Without God's mercy, we have no chance. And this is precisely what the Lenten season, in part, is all about. It's a call to repentance, it's a call to conversion, but it's also a call to embrace God's mercy in one's heart. That is why the confession lines are so long, I would hope. Because persons realize, at the end of the day, that the one thing that they cannot procure for themselves is their own salvation. But here's a difficulty in our time, and why you are so greatly needed to spread this good news of mercy. In order to receive God's mercy, you have to admit that you need it. And admitting that you need mercy means admitting that you sin. And we live in a world today, unfortunately, where admitting sin is viewed as some kind of neurosis that needs some self-help book at Barnes & Noble's to fix. But in fact, Doesn't the gospel, in fact, speak to the deeper reality of our lives? Doesn't it get to the very core of who we are? If you've been in need of God's mercy, and every one of us here, myself included, falls in that category and have experienced it deeply, do you not know that the parable of the prodigal son speaks to us so much more deeply than any random self-help book that you could find on a bookstore shelf? There's something very beautiful and something very deeply profound about what God can do in our souls if we would only let Him. So, overall, mercy is the operative principle of how this parable works. Let us pray today for one another that during the Lenten season we would experience it deeply in our lives and extend that mercy to others. O Mary, conceived without sin,